Okay, so today's shiur is being given L'zecher Nishmas David Aryeh Ben Yosef HaKohen Bench. So it's been my schus to give the shiur for a number of times, and also knowing the family a little bit, so it adds really significantly to the significance of it for me as well. It may seem peculiar to be talking about Chametz She'Avar of a Pesach on Erev Pesach, but in addition to the fact that we, you know, that's the what?
It's an island.
Yeah. So in addition to the fact that that was the choice of among a few different topics that was selected, I also think it's a very important theme, actually, for Erev Pesach, because it really highlights, as we'll discuss, the perspective that one should have going into Pesach about how to relate to Chametz, and you know, whether or not one is supposed to look beyond, you know, even as one is preparing for, etc. We'll explain what we mean going forward. So what we'd like to do is analyze a little bit, so we don't have you know, so much time to discuss the broader issues, but at least to discuss the basic machlokas of a Chametz She'Avar of a Pesach, some of the basic shitos, and develop a certain perspective that will also help us, hopefully, to prepare for Pesach. So the the Mishnah discusses the problem of Chametz She'Avar of a Pesach. Mishnah on Chaf Ches Omud Aleph in Masechet Pesachim. The Mishnah tells us that Chametz Shal Nachri She'Avar of a Pesach Mutar Bahana, the Shal Yisrael Osir Bahana, Shenemar Lo Yiroi Lecha Saor. So the Mishnah basically tells us that there's a difference between Chametz, which is a belongs to a non-Jew, and the Chametz that belongs to a Jew. Chametz Shal Nachri She'Avar of a Pesach, we'll explain what we mean by that in a couple of minutes, but Chametz which was not completely neutralized before Pesach, and therefore is still categorized as Chametz She'Avar of a Pesach, is permitted if it belongs to a non-Jew, the Mishnah tells us. Shall Yisrael also bahana, and then the Mishnah says very quixotically, "Shenemar lo yiroi lecha saor." Now, lo yiroi lecha saor is, of course, the pasuk which teaches us that on Pesach, not only are you not allowed to eat or to derive a benefit, according to almost everybody, we'll see Glili in a minute, but that you also have to eradicate, you know, chametz from your possession. Lo yiroi lecha saor. You can't even have chametz in your reshus. So the question is, what does that pasuk lo yiroi lecha saor? What does it have to do with chametz she'avar alav pesach? And the Mishnah doesn't explain. If you were to read this Mishnah, you would not know whether the din of chametz she'avar alav pesach is daraisa or drabana. Right? It's not clear in the Mishnah itself, and the Gemara almost immediately launches into a discussion about it. So the Gemara says as follows: Mani Masnisim, who is the author of the Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon, v'lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So the Gemara has three options, three possible candidates, and the Gemara says superficially it would seem that none of these three can be the author of the Mishnah. What do we mean? What are these three, and why is each one problematic? So let's just go a little bit through the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Maihi the Tanya Chametz bein lifnei zmano bein laachar zmano over olav belav tok zmano over olav belav bekares divrei Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that while we are all aware of classical chametz of Pesach, which is bekares on Pesach itself. Right. Once we're dealing with the night of Tezvav, from the night of Tezvav and those 7 days going forward, right? Eating chametz is a severe infraction, right? Which incurs death penalty, at least misa b'dei shamayim, chiyuv kares. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is mechadesh that there are also two satellite isurim, one before and one after. Chametz, which is eaten after Chatzos on Erev Chagamatzos, in other words, on Yud Dalet after Chatzos until 15th at night, according to Rabbi Yehuda, violates a lab, and there is Malkus for that lab as well. Moreover, Rabbi Yehuda says that Chametz after Pesach also violates a lab and is subject to Malkus. So that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Now there's Kares on Pesach, and there's Malkus on Chametz before, meaning those few hours before and after Pesach. That's Adin Doraisa, that's Chayvei Malkus. Rab Shimon Omer, Chametz Lifnei Zmano, Ula'achar Zmano, Eina Over Olav Below Klum. There's no lab for Chametz prior to Pesach, and there's no lab for Chametz after Pesach. Toksmano Obralov Bekares Hubala. On the other hand, of course, there's no denying the Psukim, the basic obligation of Chametz is on Pesach, and that is a capital offense. It's a Chiyuv Kares. Okay, that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara talks about a Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, Mishash also Bakila also Bahana, also Latanakam. Then the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili had a third opinion. So basically, the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is that even on Pesach itself, there is no Isur Hana for Chametz. It's also Bachila. If you eat it, there's a Chiyuv Kares. Again, that's undeniable. That's in the Psukim. But the Psukim don't say explicitly that Chametz is prohibited from deriving benefit. How do you know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there is such a prohibition, a lab of chametz prior to Pesach? So the Gemara says, "Shenemar lo sochal olav chametz divrei Rabbi Yehuda," because the pasuk says lo sochal olav chametz. That pasuk says nothing about kares. That seems to be an extra pasuk. So we see from there that there's an obligation also under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, Amar lo Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon responded to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chiyav shalom arkein. Can there be such a lav without kares? V'alo kvar nemar lo sochal olav chametz, shivas yamim tochal olav matzos. Essentially, the Torah, when it speaks about the prohibition of chametz, almost always links it to the obligation to eat matzah. And we know that the obligation to eat matzah is limited to the actual 7 days of Pesach. There's no obligation to eat matzah beforehand. On the contrary, it seems to be a prohibition to eat matzah beforehand, although that's a topic in its own right, what the nature of that is. In any case, in kein ma talmud lomar lo sochal olav chametz, b'shah she'yeshna b'kum achol matzah, yeshna b'bal tocha chametz. B'shah she'eno b'kum achol matzah, eno b'bal tocha chametz. So Rav Shimon basically says, chametz and matzah are inextricably bound together. Whenever there's no matzah, there's no chametz, and therefore there is no iser chametz prior to or after the 7 days. By Tamid Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda think? So the Gemara says, Plasa kroi ksiv leyochal chametz, that's a pasuk in Shemos, the komach metzes lo sochelu, another pasuk, then the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh in Devarim, lo tocha olav chametz. Why do we need all three psukim? Chad lifnei zmano, chad la'achar zmano, the chad litok zmano. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda says that there are three different psukim referring to chametz. From here we derive that there are three categories of chametz: lifnei, toch, and la'achar. So basically what we have so far is Rabbi Shimon seemingly denying that there's any chametz outside of the 7 day period, and Rabbi Yehuda expanding the orbit of Isur chametz. There's a kares chametz for the 7 days, and then there is the Isur chametz belav, one which takes place prior, and the other which takes place following Pesach. Now, getting back to the Mishnah.
Why can't the Mishnah align with Rabbi Yehuda?
So that's what the Gemara is about to discuss. So the Gemara says, Mani Masnisen. Who now? Now we know there are three shitas. There's Rabbi Yehuda, who has chametz lifnei, la'achar, and toch. We have Rabbi Shimon, who believes only in toch. And we have Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says it's not Isra, not even on Pesach itself. So now the Gemara is going to zero in. The Gemara says, Mani Masnisa, I Rabbi Yehuda, right, which is what you just suggested. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the best candidate for the Mishnah because he has expanded the orbit of Chametz to include after Pesach as well as before Pesach. right? Instead of limiting it only to B'toch HaPesach. So the Gemara says, but if that's true, Chametz Tama Ka'amar Afilu D'Nachri, then he shouldn't be limiting Chametz prohibition to Chametz Shel Yisrael. After all, if you were to eat Chametz Shel Nachri on Pesach, would you be any less in violation of the Iser Kares? Presumably not. We'll discuss that in a moment. But on the surface, the Gemara's initial idea is not. So if eating chametz on Pesach, it doesn't matter whether it's chemtzo shel Yisrael or chemtzo shel Nachri, and hu adin, the same thing would be true about chametz erev Pesach, right? Again, erev Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an Iser Malkus when you eat chametz. Does it matter whether the chametz belongs to a Jew or to a non-Jew? One would have thought, presumably not. So the same thing should be true about the Malkus that follows Pesach, the same idea. And that should be bein ba'abein shel nachri, bein shel yisrael. But the Mishnah said explicitly that the prohibition of chametz she'avar olav ha'pasach is limited to chemtzo shel nachri. So it would seem, so shel yisrael, sorry, excludes chemtzo shel nachri. So it would appear that the Mishnah, right, is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Be Rabbi Shimon, so what are you going to suggest? That it's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has a bigger problem, right? The Yisrael Nami Mishra Kashari. Rabbi Shimon believes that there's no Isur Chametz, even Chemtzo Shel Yisrael, right? Achar HaPesach. So with Rabbi Yehuda you have the problem, why not Chemtzo Shel Nachri? With Rabbi Shimon you have the problem, right? Why Chemtzo Shel Yisrael? Here Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the third possibility, Afilu Tov Zmanu Nami Mishra Kashari Bahana. The Mishra said that the Isur of Chametz She'avar Olav HaPesach B'Chemtzo Shel Yisrael is a prohibition of Hana. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that there's no Isur Hana even on Pesach itself. So we have a quandary. We have three positions on Chametz and none of them align with this Mishnah. And yet it's a very prominent Mishnah. Can't miss it if you learn the second parak of Pesachim. So the Gemara basically says as follows. Gemara gives two options. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Le'olam Rabbi Yehudahi B'yolif Sa'or Ta'achila Mis'or Diri'iya. So the Gemara has one sensational option, and that is that the author of the Mishnah truly is Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, but Rabbi Yehuda, right, shouldn't discriminate between Chametz She'avar Olav HaPesach, right, Lifnei HaPesach and Toch HaPesach. So the Gemara says, you're right, he doesn't. Rabbi Yehuda has a tremendous chumrah in that he extends Chametz to pre and post Pesach, and not just extends it as an Iser, but extends it for also for the onus of Malkus, but he also has a tremendous kula. The tremendous kula of Rabbi Yehuda is that Chemso Shel Nachri is Mutar Bachila. Now the simple reading of the Gemara, as we'll see in a moment, according to most Rishonim, this is also true, is that there's no difference between Toch HaPesach and Lifnei and La'achra Pesach, and there's no difference between Achila and Hana. So in other words, a simple reading of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda has this very radical shita. As I say, on the one hand he's expanded Chametz considerably, on the other hand he's constricted it even more dramatically. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, you could be eating Chemtzo Shel Nachri on Pesach. And I should always mention that we definitely do not, first of all, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda anyways, La'achar Pesach, as we'll soon see. We might paskin like him Lifnei HaPesach. We certainly don't paskin like this aspect of Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who understood it this way, eventually retracts, as we'll see in a moment, in the Gemara. What's the rationale? Why would it matter whether or not you're munching on Chemtzo Shel Yisrael or Chemtzo Shel Nachri? Right? It seems very counterintuitive. I mean, you're eating Chametz B'Pesach, or even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right, if we're talking about Lifnei L'Achar Pesach, but you're talking about an Iser of Malkus, right, the idea that the ownership of the Chametz would determine is rather shocking, right? So the answer is, the Gemara tells us, B'yalif sa'or da'achila mis'or de'ri'iyah. Ah, somehow, Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimatze, right, became the litmus test, right, or the driving force, even better, right, for the Iser of Chametz. Mas Seor Deriya Shochaya Tareva Tara Sholachem Shol Gavoa, Af Seor Dachila Shochaya Taochel Abot Taochel Sholachem Shol Gavoa. And then the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, just like Val Yira by Imatze, we know this. That's why we sell, chametz to a non-Jew, right? To avoid Val Yira by Imatze, as we mentioned before. So that does depend on ownership. Rabbi Yehuda is taking this a giant step further, right? Ownership will dictate not only with regard to the presence of chametz, but also with regard to achila. Now, the fact that ownership is determined by Jewish ownership, non-Jewish ownership, is very logical. Obviously, the idea is, not the physical presence of chametz in your rishus, but the legal presence of chametz in your rishus, your association with the chametz, your being mitzura to chametz. Again, that's a topic in its own right. What exactly is the criteria when it comes to applying the iser shehiya bayira bayimatzeh? But certainly, we can understand very easily that ownership could be and ends up being like a critical component in determining whether or not you are linked to the presence of chametz. So you might, if you don't know, the ins and outs of the world of halacha, so it might initially look, a little suspicious or peculiar to think that you could be living, in your home with chametz, and that wouldn't be a violation of bayira bayimatzeh. But once you understand that legally, right, possession is defined by ownership, so that's a perfectly reasonable perspective. However, the idea that according to Rabbi Yehuda, achila, right, should be governed by ownership is certainly peculiar. Not only because, once you eat something, it would seem as if eating it in itself constitutes a kind of ownership, so that coincidentally, at the moment that you seem to be avoiding the violation, right, you actually seem to be gaining ownership, and that's an issue which is discussed, and it's also a Choshen Mishpat kind of an issue. When you eat something that comes from someone else, right? Do you become the owner or not? I don't want to get into that. But even that aside, that's more of a technical question. It would seem that this Isur Achila, unlike presence, which is a legal concept in the sense of association, etc., eating seems to be a prohibition. It's like Machalos Asuros. And you've eaten, it doesn't matter if it's the non-Jew's chazer or your chazer, his tevel or your tevel, it's the prohibition, it's the Isra Achila itself. What does ownership have to do with Isra Achila? In a sense, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Bar Yaakov's perspective, and for this alone, it's very important to know, because again, even though it doesn't make the final cut fully, again, this is a perspective that the Gemara has, would seem to have turned around the relationship between Bayira, Bayimatzeh on the one hand and Achila on the other. The very notion of the Isur Bayira, Bayimatzeh is something that the Rishonim discuss, and one can discern, broadly speaking, two perspectives regarding Bayira, Bayimatzeh, and a topic in its own right. One is that Bayira, Bayimatzeh is an independent prohibition. There's an Isur Achila and Hana. And there's something else called Bayira Ubayimatzeh. And these two are independent. Of course, they relate to chametz, but they're two different aspects about your relationship with chametz. And they have nothing to do one with the other. There's another perspective in the Rishonim. Some people think this is one of the days of Tosis in the beginning of the Masechta. It's certainly one day in the Ran in the beginning of the Masechta. And that is that Bayira Ubayimatzeh is connected to the Isra Achila. It's a kind of a siag doraisa. Not only are you not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to have it in your possession, because having it in your possession, right, increases the likelihood that you will violate. So some people think that bayira is a siag of achila, and that should determine all sorts of issues which we're not going to discuss right now. What kind of chametz, what circumstances, how much chametz, what about tarovas chametz, what about nuksha, all sorts of interesting issues. If you think that Bayira is a siag, or it's connected to avoiding the Isra Achila, then that would have an important impact on understanding that particular law. But what Rabbi Yehuda did, according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's reading, at least initially, is he turned that relationship upside down. Right? Instead of Bayira being you know, a consequence of Isra Achila and a way of supporting Isra Achila. Essentially, what Rabbi Yehuda did was the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda basically seems to be saying that the Isra of Achilas Chametz is not an objective prohibition. Right? Because then it doesn't matter, as I say, whether it's the Chazir or the Tevel or the Pigol or the whatever it is of the Jew or of the non-Jew, of yours or of your neighbors, it makes no difference. It's eating that prohibited substance, which is Asur. If Rabbi Yehuda thinks that Achilas Chemtso Shel Yisrael is different than Achilas Chemtso Shel Akob, and if that is based on the, you know, rules of Bayirah, Bayimatze, essentially, so instead of Bayirah being a siag for Achila, what we really see is that relating to Chametz in a certain way is prohibited on Pesach, according to this perspective, even though Chametz objectively is not Macholas Asuras at all. It's symbolically distancing yourself from the Chametz that is the din of Chametz of Pesach. And of course, not eating it, right, is you know, is the first line of reflecting, you know, that that sense of alienating yourself from the chametz. But it isn't the achila or the hana per se. It's achila and hana as methods or mechanisms of relating to the chametz. So the point is that you relate to your own chametz differently than you relate to other people's chametz. The primary halacha is tashbisu biur. You have an obligation to get rid of chametz, but you can only have the obligation to get rid of your own chametz, right? You don't own the other person's chametz. So chametz that you should be getting rid of, right? Chemtso shel Yisrael, and you don't, so an even greater breach is eating it. And that's chayiv karis. But it's the hityachsud, it's the way that you relate to chametz, rather than the iser achila of chametz per se, that would be the iser under these conditions. And the Gemara just, I'll take the questions in 1 second. I'm just trying to get through this Havamina, or this view of Rabbi Chaim Yaakov. Ubedinu di boile lemisna dafilu bachila nami shari. Basically, what the Gemara points out is that the the language of the Mishnah zeroes in on hana. So one could have given this explanation. I'm embellishing, obviously. The Gemara doesn't say all of this. They only say that Achila depends on Bayirah, according to the Hava Mina, according to this perspective of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. One could have projected this kind of explanation more easily when it comes to Hana than Achila. Right? Because you could have said that Hana, like Bayirah, is more about the way that you relate to Chametz. Achila is a more objective Macholos Asuros Iser, where ownership is irrelevant. What's important is the objective Maisa Veira. So the Gemara says, we know you could have said that based on the language of the Mishnah. B'dinu diboy l'misna dafila b'achila nami shari. However, if the real rationale is that this is the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, and he's really going to distinguish between Chemtso Shel Nachri and Chemtso Shel Yisrael when it comes to Chametz She'avar, all of a Pesach, on a Doraisa level, so then you're right, the Mishnah really should have said something even more striking, and that is that Chemtso Shel Nachri is not only Mutter Bahana La'achar Pesach, but it's Mutter Bahachila La'achar Pesach. But I did the Tana Yisrael Aser Bahana, because they were interested in focusing on the opposite Chiddush, namely that Chemtso Shel Yisrael, even La'achar Pesach, is prohibited Bahana. Tananami Denachri Mutter Bahana. Ubedinu Diboy Lemisna Tafila Betoch Zmano Mutter Bahana. Lest you should think that this whole Havamina is just about La'achar Pesach. So the Gemara says, one could have thought that even, one should have perhaps accentuated that even Tocha Pesach is a Heter Hana. But I did the Tanad Yisrael La'achar Zmano, Tananami Denachri La'achar Zmano. The answer is legally that's correct. And linguistically, the Gemara is just interested in contrasting with Nachri. So this is a very shocking view. Again, later on the Gemara says Rav Acha Bar Yaakov recanted, but it's just a different world view, a different perspective on what Chametz is all about, and I don't know if I'll have a chance to get into that, but a little bit maybe. But it's a perspective which may continue to resonate, albeit not in this very radical way. Halacha, we definitely don't think that it's mutter, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll see, to eat chametz shel nachri on Pesach. By the way, I should just just to highlight it a little bit further. You know, the Gemara had a very fascinating havamina in Pesachim regarding the status of women, both for chametz and for matzah. So halacha, we take the view that women are obligated to eat matzah, even though it's mitzvah saseh shasman grama, because since the Torah links, as we noted earlier, chametz to matzah, so the Gemara derives that kol sheyeshno b'bal tochal chametz yeshno b'chol matzah. That's the Gemara daf mem gimel amud aleph mem gimel amud beis in Pesachim. However, what's not as well known is the Gemara's original havamina. The Gemara originally thought that the link between chametz and matzah should teach us the exact opposite. The Gemara originally thought that women would be permitted to eat chametz on Pesach. Okay. And again, it's a shocking havamina. The Gemara says why? Because since women are pturos, right, mitzvah seish man grama, and they're not included in the obligation to eat matzah. That's right. Therefore, there's no prohibition for them to eat chametz either. So again, we don't accept that, obviously, l'halacha, but once again, it highlights this perspective that instead of looking at chametz as an objective macholos asuros, because if it's an objective macholos asuros, then it's not conceivable that it doesn't apply to women. Right? Women have the same kedushas yisrael as men. They're not obligated in mitzvah saseh shazman grama. But no one ever would think that your pigul or nosar or tame or chazir or any other macholas asuros that you would ever distinguish. We never distinguish when it comes to lavin or maisaveros between men and women. They only distinguish on the level of mitzvah saseh shazman grom. So clearly, what the Gemara thought was that there is no objective prohibition to eat chametz per se. It's just that you have to project matzah on the holiday, and eating chametz, right, is a negation of that central role of matzah. But somebody who doesn't have the obligation of matzah doesn't have the iser of chametz. And of course, this goes to a bigger question, and that is the question of iser zman. Any echo in the Gemara, right, that we don't treat chametz like we treat macholos asuros, right, seems to be highlighting the fact that chametz is really quite different than other isurim. All year long, we eat chametz, and we don't eat it as a bidyeved. We don't say it's a daraisa gzeira she'ena tzibur yicholim lamod bo, but it would be better, to be eating matzah all the time. On the contrary, in the Beis Hamikdash, there's a notion of matzah. We had it in the Kriyas HaTorah yesterday, with two prominent exceptions. But that aside, there's no din of matzah as a lechatchila. Chametz all year round is a perfectly acceptable substance. When there's a chiyuv of achilas matzah, or maybe for other reasons, this bubble, this 7-day period, all of a sudden chametz is asur. That's part of the question of how we relate to, and we'll get back to this, chametz as an iser zman, and how we look at it from that point of view. Either way, the havamin about nashim, this perspective of Rabbah, this initial perspective of Rabbah bar Yaakov when it comes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, both underscore the idea that chametz is not a routine macholos asuros. Basically, chametz is a permitted substance. It's the circumstances and the symbol and the didactic lesson that you want to convey on Pesach, which turns achilas chametz not only into something that is prohibited, but to something that is karis. That itself is a very powerful idea. Yeah.
Would you say that Nosar is also just an Isser Zman? It's not an Isser...
Well, Nosar is a little bit trickier because Nosar...
There's no Isser in the Chepetz.
Well, there is a question whether Nosar, whether you look at Nosar as the result, let's say, of not having properly, eaten, Basar Kachim on time, or whether or that's simply the context, and then Nosar is an objective prohibited substance. And certainly the status of Nosar as a Labanita Klase, where you're supposed to burn the nosar, and somehow that removes the malchus from it, is part of that particular story. So there are certain parallels, and the equation between nosar and chametz in the Gemara's in the second parak of Pesachim are very meaningful. So nosar is a from Yehuda and the Chachamim, Sreifa, and things of that sort. So it really is part of the story. Having said that, of course, it's easier to say about nosar, especially in our Pesach, that, you know, once it's, or once you have the context, so then that's nosar, for whatever reason. With chametz, not necessarily according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's actually one of the chidushim of Rabbi Yehuda, but for everybody else, chametz is an iser zman in both directions. You know, it used to be permitted, and it's permitted again. So the fact that there's this little bubble in between where it's not, might make it a little bit different. But it's something to look at. There was a question on this side too, but we took care of it.
Somehow regarding the same type of issue as far as Malkus, where we either according that the Yomli Sar Dachilim Yisar Dereiah.
Yeah.
So I understand on Pesach with a few occurs, possibly the Malkus is linked to it. But like if it's only linked to Reiah, why wouldn't be allowed Sheva Maisa regarding afterwards, which is only linked to the Lav Dereiah?
Well, it is the Lav Sheva Maisa because we're talking about the Isar of Achila and Hanan.
But the Reiah.
The Reiah might be a Lav Sheva Maisa.
Not if you're
Even you're asking in general if Bayurah plays a motivating role rather than the opposite. So why isn't the Isra Achila itself a Lav She'en B'maisa?
Especially if you're linking the Sora Achila to the Sora D'Re'iyah.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's a good question, but it's a question that... I would say two things about it very, very, very quickly. But it's a topic, two topics in its own right. Number one, it depends what we mean by the connection to Re'iyah. In other words, I was suggesting that if you take the equation in the other direction, in other words, if you see Bayurah B'maisa as a siyag for achila, which of course is a much more, you know, popular, you know, opinion, that's even the halacha, so then basically it doesn't have intrinsic value, right? It's there, has a kind of a facilitating, you know, role. Now I'm not suggesting the opposite. I'm not saying that achila just is a facilitator for Bayurah in the opposite direction. What I'm saying more is that Bal Yirah highlights that, you know, that the problem isn't achila per se. It's not a ma'isa aveira of achila. It's a perspective on how you're supposed to be relating or not relating to chametz on Pesach, and that is reflected by Bal Yirah, right? And it also carries over into achila. I'm not saying that the achila is an extension of Bal Yirah, like I was saying that Bal Yirah might be an extension of achila. What I'm saying is that Bal Yirah highlights that the problem is a relationship problem, and that expresses itself in different ways, and therefore the achila is still independent of the bayurah and is a maisa vera, right? It's just that, you know, it's not an, it doesn't belong in a, as a typical item in hilchos machlokes. Rather, the bayurah aspect of it puts it into a different category. That's number one. Either question is very good. The second point, of course, is that even if it were to be a derivative of the Bayurah, you would then get into another topic, which I don't want to get into right now, and that is how you define Lav Shein B'maisa in Lokanala. Does that depend on the character of the Iser, or does it depend on the method of its violation? That's a huge topic, right? If you assume it's the method of violation, so that would also solve the problem. But although it's a good question. Yeah?
According to Ruach B'yakov's reading of Rabbi Yehuda, would he be compelled by the Pesukim to hold that Matzah should be a Lachem? In other words, would it...
Not necessarily. I don't know.
Because of the
so I think itself. I hear. But I, again, number one, in Lachem itself, you know, this is a question. Right. We'll get to it in a second, very tangentially. You know, we know again, Chametz Shel Akum and Chametz Shel Hekdesh, we know, are not subject to Bayurah. But let's say you give your Chametz to another Jew, right? Does that really exempt you from Bayurah? That really is a big debate among the Rishonim. So depending what position you take on that, A. B. I think the second part would be that it depends on you know, the two perspectives I just mentioned. If you take the first one, which is that Bal Yirah B'Yimatzeh, you know, isn't the motivating force, it's just a reflection that this is a different kind of an Isser, and that spills over into the Achila, I don't think necessarily that it would depend on the actual criterion of Bal Yirah. But if not, then it would probably depend on that other issue. Okay. We'll get back to that even on the halachic, you know, what we do paskin-like level, because we'll see that Bal Yirah is sometimes used as a shiur in certain, you know, relationship to chametz. Yeah.
So obviously a more radical formulation would have been that the iser of chametz the heter of chametz of eating chametz would apply even if it belonged to another Jew and not just to yourself.
Yeah, that's what he was just asking.
Oh, that's so.
Yeah, and as well, would you need lachem? You know, in the sense, would you need an actual lachem? You know, as opposed to Chem Social Yisrael Chavero, right? as well. We don't have that evidence in Rabbi Yehuda. I think, you know,
but in the Chag... point to some kind of Mathalos Hatzoros?
What?
Doesn't that point to some level of Mathalos
Hatzoros? No, I don't think so. I think it just means that this is still Chametz, which reflects, because it's Chametz Shal Yisrael, and it should have been neutralized by some member of the tribe, you know, and Tashbisu, its presence still is offensive in terms of, you know, the obligations of Sibritius Mitzrayim, how you're supposed to be relating during this period, etc. We'll see even on a Drabana level, which is what Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is. See, the thing about Rabbi Yehuda that's so great is because Rabbi Yehuda, the snapshot of Rabbi Yehuda is Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is a Doraisa. We'll see some of these issues I'm going to try to show reemerge, you know, even though we pass in the Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is Drabana. But I think that there's good reason to distinguish, especially if it isn't that it's an outgrowth of Baal Yirah, but it's more that Baal Yirah is a shear, so it's a shear in different ways. Like there's a certain range of it being a shear, which I think is, you know, not only reasonable but predictable. Okay, so that is that's basically a very fascinating snapshot of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says that we don't paskin like Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. Before the Gemara says that he didn't mean it or that he didn't stick with it, but we in fact have a different perspective, and that is Rav Amar Le'olam Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, Nasa Kanis. Actually, the author of the Mishnah is Rav Shimon. Now remember, Rav Shimon is the one who said that there's no Iser, I shouldn't say that, there's no Malkus Lifnei Zmano, and there's certainly no Malkus La'achar Zmano. The only question is, we'll get to it in a second, is there an Iser Daraisa, and maybe even Hana Lifnei Zmano without the Malkus? That's a question. But either way, for the moment, Rav Shimon doesn't think there's a separate lab of Lifnei La'achar Zmano. Ah, how could he be the author of the Mishnah? The answer is, the din of the Mishnah, although it doesn't sound that way, is a din d'rabbanan. And knasa kanis, and the language of the Gemara is, and just pay attention to this, because you'll see the Rambam rewrote it a little bit, knasa kanis, hoil the avar aleb b'ayirah b'ayimatzei. So of course, ironically, Rav Shimon also links Chametz Shavuot of Pesach, his knas d'rabbanan is also linked to the problem of b'ayirah b'ayimatzei. Right? Just like Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. But Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda, we understand, is either an outgrowth, or more likely, as I was saying, a reflection of a totally different perspective on Chametz. Whereas in Rabbi Shimon, the simple reading of Rabbi Shimon, that this is a knas d'rabbanan for somebody who didn't properly, right, to neutralize his Chametz. If you violated by Rabbi Yimotzei, you shouldn't, you know, also benefit from it, and, you know, be able to have Chametz, like, right after Pesach is over, when everybody else is struggling, you know, for that first pizza or whatever it is that they're after, right? You have it in your, well, I think you can, they can be that way, because Mama's that too, right? If the rabbi sells his chametz, but although that's an issue whether you should sell chametz ben, but whatever it is, the point is that you shouldn't be you know, chote niskar, and it's a knas kakanis that chametz alva pasuk is also bachilo ubanda. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what about the Seif of the Mishnah, which said that it was connected to the Iser of Baal Yirah? Bishlam al-Rav ha'inu d'ktoni shal Yisrael asar, mishum sh'nem al Yirah. So the Seif of the Mishnah actually works out very well. What we're saying is that in order to justify the Iser of Chametz Abar al Pesach, right, you have to look to the Iser of Baal Yirah, and that's the source of distinguishing between Yisrael and Nachal. El Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mishum lo yochal mi boile. It's an achila problem, not a bar Yirah problem. So the Gemara says, Mi sabr aseifa koi aresha koi. Hachi kamer chomet shonochri sh'omar olav ha-pasach, mutar bahano, Mishum shenemar lo Yirah. He's trying to explain why chomet shonochri is permitted after Pesach. The answer is because the Torah says, Lo Yirah lecha, sholcha ya taroa, avala taroa sholacherim v'shol gaboa, v'yolif s'or d'achila misor d'ri'iyah. In the end of the Gemara, some, 20, 30 lines later, the Gemara says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov also, v'hadar be Rav Acha bar Yaakov miahi, and that even Rav Acha bar Yaakov no longer argued that for Rabbi Yehuda, right, achilas chametz shel nachri, certainly betoch ha-pesach, would be permissible. Okay, so what do we have so far? We basically have a Mishnah which says that there's a distinction between chametz shel goy and chametz shel Yisrael when it comes to chametz avar olav pesach. The Gemara points out that there are three shitos that seem relevant to this Mishnah. and each one is problematic. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili thinks there's no Isser Hanah on Chametz even on Pesach. He's very Mekel. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the most Machmir. He thinks that there's a Lav and Malkus, Lifnei, and La'achar HaPesach. And we have Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't think that there's any Malkus when there's no Kares. There's only Malkus and Tares Toch HaPesach. And basically, the Gemara had two suggestions for the Mishnah. The first one is Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, who learns Achila from Re'iya, and even Bismano thinks that there is at least a heter of Hana Mechametz bePesach. And then the other one is Rav Shimon. So let's talk about Rav Achila ben Yaakov just for another minute. We've already analyzed how he has a different perspective on the nature of Achila's Chametz and its status as an Isser Zman. I just want to continue with this a little bit more. The Bali Tosis and Rashi and the Bali Tosis make it clear that for Rabbi Yehuda, even Achila Tok Zmano, according to Rabbi Achila ben Yaakov, would be permitted. That's the most radical that you could possibly think. And as we noted, that would imply that we're not dealing with Macholos Asuros, but a relationship with Chametz that is antithetical to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the lessons of Pesach, and so on. I just wanted to note that Rabbeinu Hananel does not go that far. Rabbeinu Hananel, it's not, and if you look at the language of the Gemara, you can understand where he gets it from. The Gemara never says explicitly that there's an Iser, that there's a heter achila of Chametz Shel Nochri betocha Pesach. The Gemara says, as easily as we wrote that there's a heter hana for Chametz L'Achar Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though that's a din d'oraisa, and we're distinguishing between Nochri and Yisrael, we could have written that there's a heter of achila of Chametz v'Pesach, of Chametz Achar Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda. What the Gemara never said explicitly is that Chametz Tocha Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav Achila ben Yaakov, would also be Mutar b'Achila. That's the most radical. Rashi and Tosfos think that that's implicit in the Gemara, right? And Rabbeinu Hananel seems to want to avoid that. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel, we just have to moderate a little bit what we said before. That even according to Rabbi Yehuda, as understood by Rav Achila ben Yaakov, there are really still two dinim. The din of Achila, Tocha Pesach, which is Chayiv Bekares, that's an objective Macholos Asuros. Or that's an objectification of relating improperly to Chametz, right, which doesn't depend at all on ownership. Even this view of Rav Achila ben Yaakov would admit that if you eat Chametz on Pesach, the Chametz of Kares, in other words, doesn't depend on ownership. That's Rabbeinu Hananel's reading, if you read it very carefully, of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Iser Hana of Chametz on Pesach, which of course is a Din D'oraisa, and the Iser of Achila and Hana, Kodem and La'achar Pesach, those both depend, or all depend, on Bialos. Okay, so just a little bit of a revision. Now how could, doesn't that seem arbitrary? Not at all. What you'd have to say is that the din of Kares, as reflected by Achila Tocha Pesach, has a different status than Hana on Pesach and Achila and Hana Kodem and La'achar Pesach. Okay. If indeed we accept this view, the Chametz remains a kind of Iser Zman in one sense, right? The view of Rabbeinu Hananel. Because at least on Pesach, even Chemtzo Shel Goy is going to be Asur, and after Pesach, and before Pesach, Chemtzo Shel Goy is going to be Mutar. Okay. When Rabbi Achila ben Yaakov decided to recant, so then the position of Rabbi Yehuda seems to be that any chametz, the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but the position of Rabbi Yehuda would seem to then be that any chametz, whether shel Nochri or shel Yisrael, is asur bein lifnei haPesach and bein la'achar haPesach. So here the question arises, does Rabbi Yehuda basically, according to the Maskana, basically think that chametz is not an Iser Zman? Right? We normally consider chametz to be an Iser Zman, because not only because it used to be mutter until a certain point, but because, as I mentioned before, we were talking about nosar, but because it will be mutter again afterwards, right? Chametz comes in and out of Yisr. That's what we mean usually when we call it Yisr's not. But according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, I'm sorry, when Hodor Bei Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so basically what emerges according to Rabbi Yehuda is that once chametz is asur, that chametz is never again permitted. So again, a more exact parallel with nosar, which may be very relevant, would be drawn according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. The question is, even for Rabbi Yehuda, this I'll just speak about very quickly, is chametz la'achar Pesach the same as chametz betoch, and even especially chametz lifnei Pesach? After all, if you take the perspective that Rabbi Yehuda's idea is that chametz is not an iser zman, so then one way to look at Rabbi Yehuda is, once there's a shame chametz, right, so then chametz becomes like pigol anosar. The only thing is that it doesn't have a shame chametz until a certain point. So once the halacha is sensitive to the distinction between chametz and matzah, and when does that begin? Probably on the 14th day of Nisan, probably after Chatzos, because that's the time when the Hakravas called Pesach, that's the time when Achilek, right, when there's a requirement of Tashbisu. So at that moment, you know, it's until that time, the distinction between chametz and matzah simply doesn't register. But it's post-Pesach until Yud Dalid, right, Bishas, Chatzos, Daraisa, there is no category called chametz. There is in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's no category chutz of Beis HaMikdash. Once Achilek rolls around, and you know your clock chimes Achilek, so at that moment, right, the halakha says get rid of your chametz. At that moment, chametz becomes a chalos, it becomes an entity. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, at that time, at least on the level of Malkus and Alav, chametz is no longer an Yisr Zman. Now it's a Hagdar, just like Nosar wasn't Nosar. It's a little bit different, but Nosar wasn't Nosar until it became Nosar, until the time frame for eating it, right, is passed. But once it's Nosar, it's prohibited forever. Right? So too, once chametz, right, gets a shame, the difference only is that in chametz, it's the halachic perspective relating to it that gives it the shame chametz, whereas in nosar, there are certain, right, objective aspects, you know, to it. Once it's a chametz, point to Rabbi Yehuda, that's it. And if that's true, then on a lav level, there should be no difference whatsoever between chametz lifnei, toch, and la'achar, except for the kares, and that doesn't bother us very much. They say, even if it's, whether it's Rav Acha bar Yaakov or the Chachamim, the idea that Tok's mano, in addition, would be an aspect of Kares, doesn't particularly bother us, but it's basically one idea. Or, maybe not. Maybe, even Rabbi Yehuda thinks that while there is a law for Lifnei's mano and Lachar's mano, they're different, they differ fundamentally from Tok's mano. The whole of Tok's mano is, after all, also connected to the contrast with matzah. Tok's mano is connected to the story of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? You don't have that in Lifnei's mano. You don't have that in La'achar's mano. Moreover, you might even distinguish between Lifnei's mano and La'achar's mano, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Lifnei's mano could be about preparation, it's likrat, zmano, right? It's connected to Tashbisu. Maybe it's a malchus which is connected to Tashbisu, but it's all about preparing for, making sure that by the time the Leil Tezvav rolls around, that your chametz really is, you know, a chametz, that your Rishus is really a chametz-free zone. Chametz Avar Levav Pesach, on the other hand, we could have said, right, is a kind of knas doraisa, you know, for violating Bal Yiroa, etc. So the question is, what does Rabbi Yehuda really think? So number one, it should be noted that there's a machlokas between the Rambam, I alluded to it before, and the other Rishonim. Most Rishonim do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda at all. No one paskins like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to chametz she'avar alav Pesach. But the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to chametz kodem zmano. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, says explicitly that over here somewhere. Rambam says as follows. I'm sorry, Parakal Halacha Chetz. Asur Lacha comments Biyomar Ba'asar, Michatzos Ayom Alamala, Shehu Mitkila Shah Shviyas Bayom. The kolaochal b'zmanaze lo keminat Torah. Shneimar lo socha lo b'chametz. Kach lomdu b'piyas Shmuel b'perish davar zelo tocho chametz b'shas shuriyah l'shkitos haPesach shehu bein arba'im v'hu chatzi hayom. So the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to lifnei zman.
That's linked
to the carbon. Well, he connected to the carbon, but it's the psak of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the pasuk. The Ravid says, Omer Avraham malchus michatzos v'elach eino v'chubar. The kimin the kaimel on kirab Shimon. The lifnei zmano, the achar zmano, the lo darish hanich kroy, lo tochalu the lifnei zmano, ula achar zmano, nay the aser bachila min haTorah, the yom arishin tashpisa sar omi lo tishkat al kametz kidderaba, abal yisrael no leka min haTorah malchus nami leka. The Ravid hints at the fact that one should not distinguish between lifnei and laachar zmano. In other words, that Rabbi Yehuda is a package deal. Either you accept Rabbi Yehuda or you don't. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos also attacks this Rambam, and the Ramach also in Tasagos. They're even more explicit. They say they don't understand how the Rambam can half paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and half paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So apparently the view of the Ravid, the Ramban, the Ramach, basically is that there's a certain gestalt, meaning there's a certain worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue not just about two details, chametz lifnei zmano, chametz la'achar zmano, but they argue about a certain perspective on the nature of the iser chametz. And you have to either take that as a package deal or not. For them, perhaps, the idea of Rabbi Yehuda is that chametz isn't really an iser zman. That once is a shame chametz, chametz is aser, at least the malchus. And that continues, right, as long as the chametz is kai. And therefore there's no reason to distinguish between lifnei and la'achar zman. The Rambam, however, clearly disagreed. The Rambam felt that the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about lifnei zmano has nothing to do with the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon la'achar zmano. These are two independent machloksim, and on the merit of the case, you can paskin like one and not paskin like the other. So this may affect many issues. I just want to mention, since we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, I want to get to the Chacham in a minute, but just Rabbi Yehuda again is an important perspective, a couple of brief issues. Isur Hana. The Pashtus, Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's Isur Hana, Bein Lifnei Zmano, Bein Lachar Zman. Certainly, Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov, certainly initially the Gemara thought that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there's Isur Hana, Lachar Zman. The question is, in the Maskanas HaGemara, when Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov recanted, so then there's no explicit information one way or another. What does Rabbi Yehuda think about Isur Hana La'achar Zmano? So the Rashash, in his comments on the Daf, says that in his opinion, Rabbi Yehuda held that Chomet She'obar Olava Pesach is also Bachila Na Torah, Malchus, but there's no Isur Hana. Very fascinating. On the other hand, he didn't come to that conclusion with respect to Lifnei Zmano. So it would emerge, according to the Rashash, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an Isra Hana with Isra Achila and Lifnei Zmano, right? And only an Isra Achila La'achar Zmano. Tosos Chachme Anglia, quote a Rashi, which says exactly the opposite. We don't have this Rashi, but the quote that they have of Rashi in the second paragraph of Psachim is that there's no Isur Hana, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of Chametz Lifnei HaPesach. Right? They don't just weigh in one way or another. But the Pashtus, unless you say explicitly otherwise, methodologically, we would assume that Rabbi Yehuda's La'achar HaPesach didn't change. In other words, the perspective on it changed, but the details didn't necessarily change from Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov to his recanting. So then you would have the exact opposite perspective. Isur Hana would be part of Chametz Shel Achar HaPesach, but not Chametz Lifnei HaPesach. The Bali Tosus on Chav Chesu Mebeis in Psachim assume as a Dabar Pashut that there is an Isur Hana for Rabbi Yehuda Lifnei HaPesach, and they're bothered by it. They say, especially, there's a debate between Chizki and Rabbi Bo in the beginning of the second parak of Psachim, whether Isur Hana requires a separate limud always, Or it's automatic. Whenever you have an Isra Achila, you have an Isra Ana, Ad Shi Farik Lecha Kasev, unless the Torah tells you otherwise. That's a very important issue in its own right. Is Isra Ana like a natural extension of Isra Achila, unless otherwise indicated, or not? So Tosa says, if you held like Chizkiyah, who held that you always need a separate source for Isra Ana, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that there's Isra Ana Lifnei Zman? Again, according to Tosas Chachmi Anglia's Rashi, there actually isn't. But the assumption is that there is. What I'm trying to highlight is that there, in addition to the Rambam distinguishing between Lifnei Lachar Zmano, with regard to Isra Ana, there are some sources that indicate that we're dealing with two different Mechayvim, again, in either direction. Maybe Lifnei Zmano is all about preparing for Pesach. Lachar Zmano is a kind of a Knas Doraisa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. A similar question could be raised with regard to the problem of Chatzi Shir. We know that Minat Torah for Malkus, you require a shir of Kazayas, Achilas Kazayas. We also know that Chatzi Shir is Aser Minat Torah, right? We passed it like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish in the Gemara in the end of Yuma. We also know that the Rambam, which is a topic in its own right, has a separate Iser of Chatzi Shir when it comes to Chametz Pesach. Rambam quotes Lo Yeyachel as the source for Chatzi Shir in Pesach. All the Mefarshim ask of the Rambam, it's not for now, but why did the Rambam not just say the regular din of Chatzi Shir in Kol Tarakul? What is the din of Chatzi Shir when it comes to Chametz Lifnei HaPesach and L'Achar Pesach? At least, number one, is it possible that you don't have the Chatzi Shir of Kol Tarakula? Well, why not? Maybe because if it isn't a real Iser, but it's more of a kind of a Siag Daraisa, either a preparatory kind of, you know, Iser, or a Knas Daraisa punishing you, right, for not properly, you know, disposing of the Chametz before the Pesach, so then you might raise questions about Siag L'Siag, if you think that Chatzi Shir is also a kind of Siag Daraisa. Can't eat the Chatzi Shir because you might end up eating the Shir. That's number one. A more, you know, promising avenue might be to try to figure out if there is a separate and unique Isur of Lo Yeyachel of Chatzi Shir and Chametz v'Pesach, like the Rambam quotes. What would Rabbi Yehuda, if he believed in it, what would he say about Chametz Lifnei and Lach? In other words, even if there was the general din of Chatzi Shir for Chametz, the din of Kol Torah Kula that we find in Chelev and Dam and Nosar and Pigol and Chazer, etc. So why not Lifnei and Lachar Zmano? But would the unique Chatzi Shir, with all of its nafkamina, which I don't want to get into right now, would that also apply to Lifnei and Lachar? This would be another way of trying to isolate whether, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lifnei, Toch, and Lachar are the same. If you're a fan of the Minchas Chinuch, right, so you know that there could also be the question, you know, of, even though he doesn't bring it up in this context, as far as I know, but, you know, he would if he was here and we were talking about this topic. What about being mitzaref, you know, chatzi shir, from one to the other? Let's say you eat a less than a shir at the end of Pesach, right, and half a shir, you know, after Pesach, or before Pesach, and during Pesach. Is that mitzaref, A? B, you know, again, a big minchas chinuch issue, can you use the psukim interchangeably, b'di'evet? You're always supposed to give hasra when you want to, you know, trigger a Kiyum Malkus with the right lav. But let's say you don't use the right lav. Let's say you use the Toch one for Lifnei, or the Lifnei for the Toch, or the Laachar for the Lifnei, or the Lifnei for the Laachar, etc. So without, again, going into all the details, which could be really interesting, but depending on what the relationships are, if it's all just one shame Iser, then you can sometimes get away with using the wrong one, or being mitzaref to the lesser level of Onesh. But if you really think these are two or three different mechayvim, then hasra-wise, chatzishir-wise, mitzirif-wise, none of this would work. Tosus in the end of Tosus about Zara Samach Vavmid Beis, towards the end of a long piece, assumes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Iser Mashehu in Chametz Sha'aval of a Pesach, and that Huadin Chametz Kodem Pesach. Again, I don't want to go into all Iser Mashehu now. It might be only a din d'rabbanan, but it's still a very important issue. Is that assumption unassailable? Namely, just because is the assumption that Chametz Sha'aval of a Pesach doesn't have a din mashu according to Rabbi Yehuda, where it's a din d'oraisa, Is that obvious? And even if it is, can you extrapolate from there that lifnei ha-Pesach, hu hadin la'achar ha-Pesach? Once again, maybe not. If the Rambam felt that you could split them in Pesach, if other people think that there are differences in terms of Isur Yanah, then it's conceivable that Isur Mashehu would be affected as well. Tosas on the base in Pesachim assumes that the Isur of Chametz Nuksha and Chametz Betarobes will not apply in Chametz Avar Lava Pesach, again, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Once again, whether that's obvious and whether the same is going to be true in Chametz Lifnei HaPesach would depend on our question. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda, and that's a very important perspective. Now let's move, I don't have so much time, but to Rav Shimon. We paskin like Rav Shimon, which makes Rav Shimon, I guess, more important perspective. On the one hand, it's a little bit less exciting, seemingly, or superficially, because Rav Shimon holds that the Isra of Chametz Abar, all of a Pesach, as we know, is Drabanon, Knasu, Dekonis, Lei, Hoil, V'Avar, Al-Bayira, Al-Bayimatze. That's the language of the Gemara. So we paskin like Rav Shimon. We know it's Midin Knas. The question is anything about the principle of Rabbi Yehuda that this might be a Din D'Oraisa and that it might reflect, right, an ongoing concern with Chametz, even L'Achar HaPesach, is any of that, right, on a D'Oraisa level, or if not, at least on some sort of a Knas Drabana level, any of that remain for our Pesach according to Rav Shimon? That would be very important, and that would be an important perspective to understand also going into Pesach. So I think in general, with respect to Knasu de Kamis Rachmana, Kamis Rabbanan, that there are three perspectives that one could take. One is to see this as a Knas Bialma. And this Knas should be looked at in light of other Knasos. We have many Knasos in the Halakha, right? Particularly if you look at the Gemaras in Gittin, or in the end of Asholeach and Perek HaNizakin, right? There's a whole slew of Knasos that you want, you can compare it to. Normally a Knas is applicable in a situation of Mezid. Sometimes a Knas is limited to the Abaryan, the person who himself violates, as opposed to Beno or Acher, if you look at the world of Knasos. Often, again, Mezid is a requirement for a Knas, you don't apply it to Shogeg. The question is that what's going on here as well? It's Chametz Avar Lava Pesach, Knas of the Kanis, the Avar Abayra Abayimatzeh, but it should be very limited, and it should be structured as we structure parallel Knossos of this kind. Or, if you wanted to go a little bit further, you might say, you know, there are more than one model of Knas, so some are very much targeted, you know, for their purpose, and to the Gabra, Baryon, Binezid, etc. And others are a little bit more expanded, they're a low plug, right? Legal theory, dictates, and sometimes you have to, expand a little bit. Maybe it isn't just an Isur Gavra, but Midrabanan, right? They were Kones, they created an Isur Chafetz of some sort, in which case, maybe this would apply not only to him, but also to others. Maybe not only when there's an obvious mezid, you also might want to consider, in addition to low plug, the factor of harama, which the Yerushalmi speaks of, we'll get to that in just a minute. Namely, the idea that sometimes it looks like he or somebody else is innocent, and maybe it's a ruse, maybe they're manipulating the system in order they can have that chametz right after Pesach, etc. So then, let's call that a second perspective, but it's well within the normal parameters of Knas. I think over there's a third perspective. And that is, although this is a Knas, it really does reflect, in a certain way, our concern with Chametz going forward on a D'Oraisa value level as well. And that while it is a Knas, it's a Knas which is based on the status of and the way that you're supposed to properly relate to Chefta Shel Chametz going forward. Ba'ira Ba'imatze isn't the Mechayiv. Ba'ira Ba'imatze in that case would be the Shiur. It would be the way that we gauge this more expanded perspective on Chametz but an expanded perspective that is rooted in the Daraisa way that we really relate to chametz on before, during, and a little bit after Pesach. According to this perspective, maybe it isn't so much Bal Yiroah, or having violated Bal Yiroah, which is the knas, basis for the knas, but not having fulfilled properly Tashbisu, not having negated chametz and fulfilled the mitzvah of Tashbisu and Biur, anything that isn't mufka from Bal Yiroah would therefore be included in the knas, even if technically you didn't violate, as we'll see. So let me just go through a few cases or a few issues to highlight this. Number one, chametz shogoy l'inyan achim. The simple pshat of the Mishnah and the Gemara that we just read is that if you pass like Rabba, Rab Shimon, Rabba says the author of the Mishnah is Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon holds that the din of chametz shavar alav haPesach is a din d'rabbanon knasu, right? The karnes hoil v'avar abayra abayimatzeh. The simple reading would be that chametz shogoy, right, is mutter, bein b'achila, bein b'hana. Right, there would be no reason. There would be no reason to distinguish. Problem is that if you look at the Mishnah that we read at the outset speaks about hana. The Gemara notes it when it talks about Rabacha bar Yaakov, but it didn't have to say hana. It could have said achila, but it does say hana. Is there any possibility that even Rab Shimon agrees that achilas chametz shavar alav haPesach is prohibited, and not just midin the knas of Bal Yiroah? And that would be halachically, you know, a very serious problem. So I just want to make it clear that we don't pask in that way. However, conceptually, it would bring Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon much closer together. It would basically say that even Rab Shimon agrees that there's some aspect of chametz shavar alav haPesach which might even be Doraisa. So the Rif and all the Rishonim who speak about it al Atar say clearly that notwithstanding the language of the Gemara, of Hana, of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, Hana, it's obvious that according to Rav Shimon that there is no Isser of Achila or Hana, there is no Isser at all. However, the Bala Itur disagrees. Bala Itur says that, I think I have the language here, that it's only a Heter Hana, but not a heter achila. One second. This is the Bala Itur in Aseres HaDibros, Hilchos Bir Chametz. HaChametz shall eino Yehudi she'amar alav haPesach muter b'hana. Kasa Rav Alphus, lav l'meimah d'b'achila aser, ele mishum d'boi l'misa shal Yisrael aser b'hana. Tananami d'eino Yehudi muter b'hana. V'hu adin b'achila nami shari. V'temeli minale l'ravusa. T'arava l'yalef achila mir'iya. Rava, unlike Rav Acha bar Yaakov, didn't say that Bal Yiroah Bal Yimatzeh is the foundation for chametz shavar alav haPesach. So he's not, you know, beholden to the, you know, to the implications of Bal Yiroah, which distinguish between Shal Yisrael and Shal Akum. Vahidi shinuya hu adin v'achila nami shari l'Rav Acha bar Yaakov. When the Gemara said, oh, don't worry about the language of the Mishnah, only says Yisra Hana, you should know, you know, it's even achila. That was said in the context of Rav Acha bar Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, the yalef achila miria. So then, to distinguish between achila and, right, Hana makes no sense, right, l'kula or l'chumra. But Rav Shimon, lifnei zmano aser b'achila midivrayim, bein Yisrael bein da'akum, el de Yisrael kanis lachar zmano v'aser b'hana, u'be'einu Yehudi lo kanis, u'mistabra chamet sh'ovar lava Pesach, afilu de'einu Yehudi aser b'achila. Rabbanan hu da'aser b'achila b'kol chametz, ki heichi de Yisrael aser b'hana midivrayim, hakanami sh'o'einu Yehudi aser b'achila midivrayim, kinekatani muter b'hana. A very remarkable Bala Itur. Again, if we paskin like it, it would be a nightmare, but we don't. But we're very happy not to paskin like it and to have it here for us, right, because it has important implications. Namely, he's comparing Hana, the Isar Hana of Chametz Shavar alav haPesach, Achila v'Hana, of Chametz Shavar alav haPesach, Shel Yisrael, with Chametz Nachri Shavar alav haPesach, Legabe Achila. Now, what's particularly important about this is what's missing? The knas of bayirah, bayimatze. And the Bala Iter doesn't even feel the need to relate to that. If he read the Gemara Kipshuto, as most Rishonim do, which is that knas kakanis hoil v'avar al bayirah bayimatze means that in order to reinforce the Yisur bayirah bayimatze, right, so they made a knas. They said, if you don't follow this dindaraisa, right, you're not going to be chote niskar, you're not going to benefit from it, you're going to suffer further. Right? So then it presumably only applies where Bayirah is applicable. But Shalacherim v'shal Gavoa, right, everybody agrees that Chemtzel Shal Akum, Chemtzel Shal Hektesh are Mufka from Bayirah Bayimatze, and yet the Bala Iter is telling us that just like Chametz Sh'avar Ola Bayirah, I mean Chemtzel Shal Yisrael is Asr Bachila Ba'ana, so Chemtzel Shal Akum is Mutar Ba'ana, but it's Asr Bachila, even though there's no Bayirah. So it emerges from the Bala Iter is that apparently Bayirah Bayimatze is just a way of gauging what kind of chametz we're dealing with. The chametz, which is subject to Bayirah Bayimatze and which has not been completely neutralized, right, that chametz is also subject to the iser of Drabanan, the knas Drabanan of chametz Arvar Oliva Pasach. But it isn't an actual knas in the normal. So we'll explain what I mean by the knas in a minute. In addition to the Bala Iter, which is a Shita Siachid we don't paskin like, there's also Day in the Yerushalmi, which we probably don't paskin like, but it's also very worth knowing. Yerushalmi has a possibility that even though there is no Malkus, from Shimon said there's no Malkus Lifnei Pasach, there's no Malkus Lachar Pasach. But this is a longer story, but we want to finish in the next few minutes, so I'll tell you the short part. There's a debate among the Rishonim whether Lifnei Pasach is Asur Min HaTorah Bachila and or Bahana. The position of the Balamor is that there, according to Rav Shimon, there's no Isra Achila or Hana, Lifnei or La'achar Pesach. And that's why you can eat Pesach, you can eat Chametz on Erev Pesach until nighttime. Achilaso Zimizash Pesaso. Not only can you eat it, but you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Min HaTorah. The Drabanan, of course, they told us not to do that. Most of Shonim, however, of the opinion that once it's a mitzvah of Tashbisu, or connected to the Zman of Korban Pesach, there's an Iser Shehiya Doraisa, and that Iser Shehiya carries with it an Iser Achila, or reflects an Iser Achila. Those are two different perspectives also. What about Iser Ana? That's a second debate. Most of Sharon think the Iser Ana is only Drabanan. Rabbeinu David, Bonfil, and the Chiddush Aran think even that is Doraisa. Very interesting. So the question is as follows. There's no Malkus, according to Reb Shimon, for Chametz L'Achar Pesach. But just like some Rishonim think that there is an Iser Doraisa, even though there's no Malkus, Lifnei, maybe there's a parallel in L'Achar as well. And that would again put a more fundamental footing for an Iser of Chametz L'Achar HaPesach. So that is actually a view in the Rishonim. Rishonim says, Lo Bier La'achar Pesach Mahu, referring to Rav Shimon. If you didn't do Bir Chametz, you didn't do Tashbisu, what's the status of Chametz Avar Lava Pesach? Rav Yona Amar Mutter, Rav Yossi Amar Asar. Then the Gemara says later on, Mod Rav Shimon Ba'asar, Shu Asar, but Isura Mahu, Rav Yirmi Amar Isura Dvar Torah, Rav Yona, Rav Yossi, Travayun, Omrin, Isura Medivrayan. So there's a debate in the Yerushalmi whether or not, according to Rav Shimon, there might not be an Iser Doraisa of Chametz Sh'avar Olav HaPesach without Malkus. Now if that's true, it has nothing to do with Bayirah, presumably. Or it has to do with Bayirah, but on a Doraisa level. Even if you don't accept these more exotic Shitos, the question is, what is the scope of the Din of Knas? So just give me a couple of five more minutes or so, or six, and we'll just mention a few things, and I'll get to how I think this connects to the bigger issue. There are some Rishonim who take the other extreme, I mentioned before, that only the Avaryan himself, Bemezid, right, is also become a Charova Pesach. That's an amazing kula. In other words, if you didn't violate, even though your neighbor did, that's a Chametz Sh'avar Lava Pesach for you. If you take Knas literally, as I say, and the model of some of the Gemaras in Hashaleach and Hanizakin, etc., some of them say, Knas lo, velo libno. Right, and other people didn't do anything wrong, The Chetzah's Mutter Legamri, there's no problem. That is, for example, the Shita of the Sefer Nichtam, one of the Chachmei Provence. He said the Sefer Menucha. The Meiri suggests that one could distinguish between Isra Achila and Hana. So when it comes to Isra Hana, that's only low, only to the Abarya. Isra Achila is to everybody. So there are two dinim of Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach. However, even the Meiri says, Meiri adds and says, that the problem is one of Harama. In other words, in theory, this Knas would have been limited to the Avarya. Right? That would have completely limited, just like the Iter would be a nightmare if you paskin that way in terms of the problem of Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach. Right? If you paskin like this view that it's limited to the Avarya, it would be next to no problem at all. You could buy in any store. It wouldn't be an issue. However, says the Meiri, I think that's true fundamentally, but not Lemaisa, only because of Harama. We're worried that people, you know, Jews will find a way. You know, they'll figure out some way where, you know, this is going to work for everybody. The other perspective is that not only is it Asur for everybody based on Loplug, but the Knas, right, is basically extending, you know, the value of Chametz being Asur, and that it applies across the board. But if that's true, so then we should weigh whether or not it really depends on Bali Ruah. We already showed according to the Bali Iter that perhaps it doesn't. So there's a very famous, first of all, discuss the Rambam, and then the Ritva for just a couple of minutes. The Rambam, when he talks about this halakha, formulates it as follows. Number one, the halakha of the Rambam, and number two, his formulation. The Rambam says, Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach, this is Perek Aleph Halakha Dalid, Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach, Asur Bahana Li'olam. So first of all, Li'olam is a very strong formulation. I really get the impression that the Rambam is a little different here and that he has something to say. The Dabar Zeh Knasu Midivrei Sofrim. Divrei Sofrim is a loaded term in the Rambam. Sometimes it means Drabanan, right? Here it certainly means Drabanan, but whenever the Rambam uses Divrei Sofrim, likely he's trying to say that there's something more going on here. It's a Drabanan, but it's a Drabanan. He rarely uses Divrei Sofrim for a Knas, unless if it's only a Knas. Mipnei She'avar Al Bayirah Bayimatzeh Asruhu. That part is like the Gemara. Ho V'Avar Al Bayirah Bayimatzeh. But then he adds Va'filu Hinichu B'Shkaga O Ba'Ones. Even if he was a shogeg and an ones, which means that he really didn't violate, probably, Bayirah Bayimatzeh. And then he adds, Kidei Shelo Yaniach Adam Chametz Bershusa B'Pesach, Kidei Sheyeh Nebo Achar Pesach. And a lot of the Nosa Kalim zero in on this line. The Rambam basically is telling you that the problem isn't that you're going to leave Chametz in your Rishus, but that you're going to leave it there with the eye towards benefiting afterwards. It basically depends how you read this line. Is it Kidei Shelo Yaniach Adam Chametz Bershusa B'Pesach? And then the Kidei, the second Kidei, is just a, oh, why would anybody do that? The answer is because then he doesn't have to run out to the store. He has it in his refrigerator and it's ready to go. Or is the Kidei, the second Kidei, part of the Mechayev? Kidei She'yana Ba'akar Pesach, which is the way many know Sekalim understood it, in which case, what is the Rambam talking about? You have to worry on Pesach and during Pesach about his intentions Akar Pesach. That together with the Divrei Sofrim, the Le'olam, the Shkaga, and the Ones, seems to indicate that the Rambam thinks that this is more than a knatz. Let me highlight it in another way, very quickly. The Ritva Im Psachim, Nav Chav Tesa Med Aleph, says, even though the Gemara says, Ho'el V'Avar V'Yurah V'Yimatzeh, we should take that with a grain of salt. Basically, in both directions, we can be Mechav. There can be cases where there's no violation of V'Yurah and there's still Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach. There can be cases where there is a violation and there's no Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach. What does that mean? So the Ritva says, quoting the Ra'ah, Pirush Ra'ah, B'Shem Rabba Rabban, the lo she'avar mamish, eloshen tigro, targum rather who, ratzalomar ho v'hu avar alav, klomar she'roi lavar alav. Basically, Bayur Bayimatzeh isn't the Mechayiv. Bayur Bayimatzeh is a shear in the kind of chametz where we made this extra knas of chametz she'avar alav Pesach. What does he mean by that? So he goes on to explain, me'ata, Pa'amim she'yisrael over alav mamish v'hu mutter. Sometimes you actually violate Bayirah, but There's no chametz shalom about Pesach. Zeu chemtzo shel nachri. If you take responsibility for chemtzo shel nachri, so it's in your possession. So you'll violate bayiroa. But since it's chemtzo shel nachri bechemtza, there's no chametz shalom about Pesach, even though you violated bayiroa. Upa'amim shelo overlov v'hu asur. Sometimes you don't violate bayiroa, and still this chametz shalom about Pesach, the exact opposite. Zeu chametz shel Yisrael. So technically there's no bayiroa, but it remains chemtzo shel Yisrael she'avar olav haPesach, even though you didn't violate. B'chol shehirim b'davar, b'chol knasos Rav Shimon v'asar. What's going on? Moreover, we find debates, I'm not going to go into all this because it's too long. Shogeg, ones, shogeg I mentioned, and ones, the Rambam says yechayiv. The Sefer Michtam, predictably, he thought even anybody but the person wouldn't violate the ones is no bayirah. Shogeg is no bayirah. The Yerushalmi has a debate about hefker. But as we know, akum and gavoa. Shalcha ataroa, ataroa shalachum v'shal gavoa. What about hefker? What about beetle? Right. What about those cases? So in those cases, you don't violate bayirah by imatze with hefker. You don't violate if you did beetle. According to those, the same thing. Right, but you also didn't necessarily fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. Do you need to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu on this kind of chametz because it's a chametz which is roi lebayirah, and therefore even if you didn't violate bayirah, that kind of chametz where there's no kiyum tashbisu, no beer, you haven't confronted and negated that chametz, there's still chametz she'avar alav haPesach, or does it really depend on a knas of violating bayirah? So this is a debate on all these cases. I'll give you one other case, and then we'll wrap it up. Tarovetz. The Gemara says about Adav Lamed in Psachim that chametz, right, Pesach shenis ariv la'achar Pesach, right, is not subject to the violation of chametz she'avar alav haPesach. There are several big debates about this. I'll just mention one. The question is, what do we mean nis'ariv? Do we mean that on Pesach it was chametz, viable chametz, nikar chametz, recognizable chametz. After Pesach it was nisariv and it's no longer recognizable. The regular dinam of bitul apply. Not such a big chiddush to say about that, that there's no chametz, no knas of chametz shavu on Pesach. And that's the way the Tur and many of the Rishonim and Poskim understand. But not all. Some of them understand that even if there was a tarovetz chametz, which normally wouldn't be batel, because of the normal rules of Tam Kiikar and other things, that you had Chametz on Pesach. After Pesach, it was Nisariv in a way that regular, if Chazer or Tebel or Nosar was Nisariv in that way, it would be Asar. But it's Chametz Shavu Alav haPesach. It's a Knas to begin with. It's not recognizable anymore as it was on Pesach. Therefore, it's permissible. But you violated Bayirah, and it's still, according to the normal canons of Chefetzas, still a viable Chefetza. So what's going on? So I think in general what we find is these three perspectives. Let me just zero in on the bigger two. Right? Either this really is what it seems to be, a Knas. Or what we tried to indicate with Bala Itur, the Yerushalmi, the Rambam, right? The Ritva B'Shem HaRa'ah, possibly reflected in Tarovetz Chametz and other things. It seems like Bayura Bayimotze, to quote the Ritva B'Shem HaRa'ah, is just a way of gauging a shiur in Chetzach HaChametz. The real problem of Knas is the problem that the Rambam outlines, Kedei Kedei. The problem is, you shouldn't be planning Erev Pesach, you know, how you're going to get back to your Chametz after Pesach. And that is not only perhaps a knas drabanan, but it's a knas drabanan that really is anchored in the daraisa of bir chametz and tashbisa. Let me just explain that for 1 minute as we finish. As we know, the whole idea of Yisur Zman and chametz is really a very unusual phenomenon in halacha. Right? It's a chametz is fine all year round. And then we had this fascinating view of Rabbi Yehuda, this little snapshot which may have been recanted, but we also have that snapshot with regard to Isha, right? Even when we say Chametz is Macholas Asuros, that's a different kind of Macholas Asuros. More Chamur, less Chamur, different. Meaning, It's about how we relate to chametz. That's why we thought, if there's no mitzvah matzah, maybe there's no iser chametz. If it's chametzah shel nachri, and there's no chiyuv beer and tashbisa for Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you could even eat it. Those are all not true. But the idea that chametz isn't an objective macholas asuros in the normal sense, but it's about the way that you relate to the story of Mitzrayim and everything that goes along with it, cherus, preparation for Matan Torah, how we look at the impact of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that is something which, of course, remains true, why those Havaminas are so important. It's more chomor because of that, but it's still different. So the point is that when it comes to this Iser Zman, right, if it was just a technical Macholos Asuros during this bubble period of the 7 days, so, you know, it is what it is. And, no one knows what you're thinking, no one cares what you're thinking. The important thing is that during the 7 day bubble period of Pesach, you should be eating Macholos Asuros, and that's what this is for whatever reason. But if it's an attitude about preparing for Pesach, about Tzipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chametz is a symbol, or matzah is the symbol, but chametz therefore, is the negation of that symbol. Whatever it is, it's about Tzipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, a certain perspective on Cherus, the reenactment of events, etc. And that's really why this becomes Machalos Asuros. So then, the perspective going forward is important. You shouldn't be planning after Pesach, before Pesach. You should be focusing on this right now, confronting, negating, neutralizing the chametz, right? As if it's something which is completely antithetical and incompatible with the themes that you're about to immerse yourself in and embrace. And consequently, any sense that, you're already looking past it, to when it's going to be mutter again, and even calculatingly, planning, to make that easier and more accessible, is a violation not only of the after, it's only a problem in terms of Siaga Bal Yira, but it's incompatible with what Bal Yira and the Isra Chametz and the Mitzvah of Tashbisu is all about. That's what the Rambam means when he says Kedei Kedei. It doesn't mean one Kedei is a qualification of the first Kedei. It means that's the whole point. Part of Bal Yira, part of Tashbisu, treating Chametz this way is incompatible with planning for the aftermath and going back. There's going to be a Dovr Sheishla Matirin on Motzai Yom Tov, and that's going to be Matir, the Chametz, and Mafkia, the Iser Zman. But if you plan for it in advance, right, then that's a relating to the Iser Zman as it should be and proper. And finally, this thing is particularly, I think, consistent with the nature of Chagamatzos to begin with. As we know, Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, we eat a kazayas of matzah, according to the normative Pesach, we eat a kazayas matzah at the beginning of the period. The Torah keeps saying that it's Chagamatzos and implying that it's a 7 day period of eating matzah. I've spoken about this in past years when I've been here. I think it's a very important topic. Some people think that there's a mitzvah, kiyum a mitzvah, to eat matzah, shmura matzah, Pesach, based on this idea as well. But it's a very fascinating phenomenon. Just like, what does it mean? Why does the Torah continuously speak about 7 days when it's one kazayas? The answer is that too is a snapshot of a bigger idea. And that's the idea of the impact that Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to have and the celebration of Pesach is supposed to have going forward. It is Chagamatzos because that first kazayas is very impactful. We prepare for it and we destroy all chametz in our possession. And we keep that value and that theme alive, not necessarily with Achilas Matzah, but by eradicating Chametz for the entire period. And what's true in microcosm for that first Kazayas and the 7 day period, right, of course is true for the rest of the year. Because the theme of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, being built on Tzipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, is all about properly integrating in different phases with different emphases, etc., the themes of Mitzrayim, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all year round, by focusing on that first Kazayas, on those first 7 days, and the aftermath. The idea that one would prepare, to get past all of that before or during one's actual involvement in it is just so antithetical to what it's all about, that the Knas, of chametz over of Pesach ends up being an important reflection of the theme of preparation and of the way that we observe Pesach Tzav. So I want to wish you all a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and I guess lifnei tocho and la'achar will be very meaningful.
Thank you.
Came across a whole flock of overlaps the last year's year.
What did we think about last year?
Whether the satellite Isurim of Hana and before and after were peculiar to matzah. I mean, they're peculiar to matzah, but it's because it's just matzah as the thing, or are they separate Isurim?
Mm-hmm.
Is this yours or mine?
It's not mine.
Okay. Mark wrote an article. Here's the other one.
I presume that stops it.
It's not mine.
Congratulations. You're here.
Why are you taking this?
Because I was going to put it back in its box.
This isn't from the box. This
that one might be from the box.
Yeah, I don't know. This is Carl Lischitz.
Oh.
That's what I said.
All right. Was this stopped?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a Mazumin left? Now,
Goes
you back to your house? All right.
Yeah. The door's open.
Is this off?
That's fine.
I have no idea. I don't even know. It looks like it's on hold, which...
Well, I can put it there, but I don't know how to turn it off. I'm trying to turn it off, and I can't.
I don't know if there is. Is there a separate on-off button? I don't see
it. Well, it says off right here.
Thank you very much.
Stop, anyway.
It's when stopped.
When I hit stop.
Record.
But when I hit stop, I see the time numbers keep on going.
It's still going. It's on hold, either. Now it's done.